Hare Krishna. Today is Tuesday, 28th August 2012. I welcome you for the Bhagavad Gita class. We will first start with the prayers. So please chant with me. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जय पताका स्वामी इति नामिने ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू स्पीक अबाउट चैप्टर 4 विच इज टाइटल्ड ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज इन द थर्ड चैप्टर वाज कॉल्ड कर्म योग एंड दिस इज कॉल्ड ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज So there's a difference between mundane knowledge and transcendental knowledge. You know, mundane knowledge is about the matter and transcendental knowledge is about the spirit. And this is one of the important chapters of Bhagavad Gita because here Krishna is giving us some instructions. Krishna is talking about himself. He is establishing, you know, he himself is establishing his superior position. And he's also going to talk about how this whole knowledge of Bhagavad Gita came around. When did he speak first? How was it passed down? What happened? Why he's again talking? Why he's choosing Arjuna for that? So these are the various things. And then of course he talks about the practical side of it, you know. And various kind of people, various kinds of devotees, various kinds of yogis. How people perform different things. So this is all in this chapter 4. So what we'll do is we will divide this chapter into 4 parts. And try to take one part each day like that, you know, each week. The sun is really troubling. So let's first talk about the 4 or 5 parts. There are 5 sections of this particular chapter, chapter 4. The first section is knowledge, transcendental knowledge about Krishna. Who is Krishna? How we have to perceive him? How we have to see him? How he is Supreme God? Yeah, Krishna is giving some lessons here, you know, and then how he comes on this planet or other planets, what makes him come, how he is independent, you know, everything. He just, in the first few shlokas, about 9 shlokas, we are going to find out about Krishna. That's the transcendental knowledge about Krishna. And then in the next section, second section, the transcendental knowledge about Krishna, how do we apply that, you know? How do we apply? How Krishna takes care of all the jivas, various varieties of jivas, how he is neutral, you know? He is not biased or something like that. And then the third one talks about, third section talks about the karma from the platform of jnana, from the platform of knowledge, you know? Once you are on the platform of knowledge, what do you do? It's more like the last, I think the fourth section of second chapter, where we talked about, Krishna talks about nishkama karma. Second chapter, if you remember, is the summary. So it may be repeated, you know, whatever is there in that may be repeated in other chapters. Then in the fourth section here, Krishna talks about various types of sacrifices, you know, how different people perform different sacrifices. So Krishna is going to talk about that. He just gives, you know, tells how people, how we are all individuals, and because we are individuals, how we behave differently, you know, how our system, our beliefs, our processes are different. So different people approach different processes for transcendental knowledge, for transcendental progress. And then in the last section, it's like a conclusion where he tells Arjuna to fight. You know, see in the last section also we said, leave up the lethargy, get up and fight. Krishna says that. You know, again in this one, again at the end of it. So his whole idea of this Bhagavad Gita is to motivate Arjuna to take up the fight, right? So again, once more, first section, transcendental knowledge. Second section, how to apply. The third section, the karma from the platform of jnana, nishkam karma. The fifth section is sacrifices, the fourth section is sacrifices, and the fifth section is conclusion. Okay, so today we are going to focus on the first two sections, namely transcendental knowledge, and we'll see if time is there, then we'll take up the second section also, because it has only five or six shlokas. That is how to apply. Of course, that doesn't mean that's the end of how to apply. Krishna keeps on telling, but in this particular, with respect to jnana, he's speaking now. So let's take that up. And as we generally do, we start with the reading of the shlokas, the translation of the first 15 shlokas in chapter 4. Okay. So again, I'll request all of you to join me in reading together. Okay. I'll try to go slow. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan. And Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. That very ancient science of the relations with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Arjuna said, "The sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him?" The personality of Godhead said, "Many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium." One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified of me, purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Men in this world desire success in fruitive activities, and therefore they worship the devatas. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me, and although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Okay. So now we can see okay. So Krishna in the first 9 shlokas, as I said, is establishing the how this whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken by him, for what purpose, to whom, etc. And of course Arjun challenges that, and then Krishna again replies. So we'll just go bit by bit to understand. So what is Krishna saying here? Krishna is saying that this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita that he is speaking to Arjuna was first spoken by him to sun god Vivaswan. And then Vivaswan gave it to Manu, and then Manu gave it to Ikshvaku, and that's how the whole parampara started, you know, the parampara of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And then he says that this was in the parampara praptim, and this is how people understood it, because you know it's like the knowledge is passed from the guru to the shishya, and to his shishya, to his disciple, like that. So there is a chain, and that is the system. Krishna himself is talking about the system of learning. He is talking about the parampara, and when the parampara was broken, the message was lost, the science was lost. And that's why he says, I am again speaking to re-establish. And he chooses Arjuna. But before that, let us talk a little about parampara. What is parampara? As the very word parampara means the chain, you know, like it succession chain, that's called parampara. And when the knowledge goes in that like that, then it remains as it is. See, that's why we are following the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita written by His Holiness, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And if you have that book with you, you can see it, the parampara, you know, how it starts from Krishna and comes down all the way to Srila Prabhupada. So that's why he called it as it is, as Krishna told Arjuna, not as I think or you think or somebody else thinks. So this is the secret. It's an open secret, incidentally. Even Bhagavad Gita is an open secret. But Krishna uses the word secret because it's not understood by everybody. That's what it means. When Krishna says secret, he means that not everybody has understood it. And so he says, Arjuna, I chose you to get this knowledge because you are my devotee, bhakta, and you are my sakha. Okay? So, because you are my devotee, and that shows again, you know, I had told that in the first introduction when we are going through the whole Bhagavad Gita introduction, that this knowledge has to be received in devotion. Arjuna received it because he was a devotee, not because he was a prince, not because he was his cousin or something like that. No. And why Krishna used the friend? Because between the friends, there is no enviousness. You know, when we are friendly with somebody, we are not envious. And the moment we are envious, there are problems. Then the friendship is no more a friendship. Then it becomes exploitation. And that's what happens in the world mostly, you know. So if you want to really have a true friend, good friend, then that's the first condition. There is no secret between the two friends. There are no, the more than the secret, it is no enviousness, you know. And then, naturally, Arjuna got disturbed. He says, what is this going on? Because till that time, Arjuna did not know that Krishna is the Supreme God. He just thought him as a knowledgeable cousin. So he, and a friend, so Arjuna immediately questions. He says, how do I understand this? Sun God was born much before you. He's very senior to you. And then you are telling me now, and how do you say you told him? So Krishna is now here establishing that it's not that he just came 5,000 years back. He's established that he's forever. And so he says, many, many births both you and I have passed. Many, many births. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. He's just telling Arjuna his limitation, our limitation. We do not remember our past, right? We do not remember. But Krishna remembers his past, and he always also remembers our past. That's why he's God. So, he says, now you see, he's confirming, one after other, he's confirming his position. So he's declared that I am unborn. Ajo api. Ajo api. I am, although I am unborn, he says, my transcendental body never deteriorates. That's why we say Krishna is navayovanam. Navayovanam cha. Navayovanam, always youthful. When this battle took place, Krishna was 125 years old. But he was looking like a 16-year-old. Never grows, outgrows that youthful position. So he says, although I am the Lord, but I still appear in every millennium, every yuga, in how? In my original transcendental form. Let's see what it says in the shloka. Ajopi sannavyat sannavyat yatma avayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavaya atma mayaya. This is what the shloka is. Okay. Although I am unborn, ajopi, avyaya. See, vyaya means to spend. When we spend, it reduces, it deteriorates. Right? So, avyaya means not spend, does not deteriorate. That's the difference. Okay? Prakritim. Prakritim. Prakritim means my, what you can say, transcendental form. It's called prakritim. Swam, mine, adhishthaya, being so situated, sambhavami, sambhavami means I do come. And then in the next shloka, Krishna talks about the one of the most famous shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, you know, which is quoted left, right, center, everywhere. Yada, yada, hi, dharmasya, wherever you go, you know, we'll hear this. Right? Everybody talks about that. If you ask somebody, do you know Bhagavad Gita? You will say, yada yada hi dharmasya, and then his karmanyava adhikaraste. Two, three shlokas they will say. So this is one of them. Whenever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant, and when the irreligion rises, I descend myself. So that's what people say. But more important than that is the next verse, where Krishna gives a reason. Paritranaya sadhunam, to deliver the pious. But the acharyas say that it is more than delivering the pious, he wants to give them pleasure. See, he comes for the pleasure of the devotees. When he came here 5,000 years back, he gives so much pleasure to all his associates, his eternal associates who come here to assist him in his pastimes. He gives them so much pleasure. So that is paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Okay. For annihilating the miscreants, to finishing the miscreants, he comes, he says. I myself appear millennium after millennium. Sometimes he sends his representative, sometimes he comes himself, sometimes he sends his Ansha avatara, sometimes Guna avatara, sometimes Shaktyavesha avatara, like that he does it. And now, these are some of the very, very important shlokas. And the next one is, according to me, even more important to understand. And that is what? One who knows the transcendental nature of Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam. Krishna declares his Janma. See, he just said that there is no Janma. Ajopi is Aja. Aja means Jaya means to born. Aja means not to born. But now he says, even if you consider that I have taken birth, my birth is not ordinary. Divyam. Divyam means transcendental, alaukik, not belonging to this loka. Alaukik means not belonging to this loka. Okay? So he says, if you understand this, only this much, that Krishna's birth and his activities are transcendental. That's why when Krishna does something, we should not think at our level and say that, hey, Krishna did this wrong or right. You know, people keep on saying, oh, he did this and he did that. His activities are all transcendental, nothing to do this with this material birth. He does everything to give a lesson. Okay? And then Krishna says, if you do that, if you understand that, then you don't have to come back, you don't have to take birth again. Looks so simple, but it's so difficult. Why? Because our ahankara, our ego, false ego, is so powerful, so dominant, we will not accept that. We'll always say that, oh, he also did that, he also did that, so I'm also doing that. Whatever wrong we do, we try to justify that by comparing it with Krishna or somebody like him. So, now Krishna is giving a testimonial. He says, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me. Many, many persons have done this. Somebody says, oh, who has understood this? Can you tell me how many people understood this and went back to you? And Krishna says, yes. Many, many. Many, many did that. Of course, not in today in Kali Yuga, not as much as we expect. Because we are not doing it. We are not giving up attachments. We are not surrendering. We are not doing anything. And then we want everything. We don't want to do anything, but we want everything. We want Krishna to do everything for us. And that's why we are in trouble. And then, here he's talking of the ratio. As all are surrendered unto me, I reward them accordingly. Accordingly. It's in the ratio. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. As much you surrender, that much Krishna will reveal. You know, it's a very natural thing. Of course, Krishna is so merciful that if you surrender this much, he gives you this much. You know, there's a nice saying that if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 100 steps towards you. So, men in this world desire success in fruitive activities. That's now he says. Krishna also knows that people are going to worship the devis and devatas. Why? Because you want some immediate fruitive results, karma phala. Or you want some results, no karma also. Without karma also you want results. So what you do? We'd go to some devatas. Devatas are empowered to give some fruits. And then of course we get it quick. So that's why people say, hey, let's not go to Krishna. Let's go to some this Devi, that Devi, or this Deva, that Deva, you know, something like that. If they are not available, let's go to some Baba. Let's go to some walking God, as they say. You know? Living God, walking God. We have so many things like that. But if you really want to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, then when Krishna says that, he's not saying that that's the end of it. Immediately he says, now he knows that there are people at different levels, so that's why he says, he created this divisions. But how the divisions are guna, karma, vibhagashah, guna and karma. By your qualities and by your activity, it decided what division you belong to. When we say division, I am talking about the varnas, the four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. This is required to run a society, in any society. Now I am in America, but it doesn't mean that doesn't exist here. Here also we have intellectual people, here also we have administrators, here also we have mercantile people and agriculturists, and here we have labor. Right? Everywhere. Except that they don't get branded maybe. In India we get it branded, and then we create more and more problems. But Krishna did not suggest a problem. Why is he saying that? He says, although I created this, but I am not one of them. I am not one of them. So here I would like to discuss a little about that with you, about Krishna. You know, Krishna, when Krishna says, I don't belong to that. I created the system, but not. So now you see, what do you call Krishna? Was Krishna a Brahmana? Was Krishna a Kshatriya? Was Krishna a Vaishya? Or was he a Shudra? So let's see his lifespan. He was born and brought up by in a Kshatriya family, brought up by a Vaishya, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. They're agriculturists, right? Then he did so many things manually. He was going and taking the cows to the forest. He was driving Arjuna's chariot. He was doing so many activities for mother. He was carrying his father's footsteps on his, father's shoes on his head. So he's a Shudra. He's a king. He was the king of Dwarka. So he's a Kshatriya. And then he speaks about Bhagavad Gita, and to so many people he speaks so many things. So he's a Brahmana. So who is Krishna? That's why he says, I'm the undoer. Non-doer. I don't do anything. Although I'm there, I do everything, but I don't do anything particular, you know. And I'm unchangeable. Not that I one day become this and one day. No. This is all his leela. This is all his pastimes. And then, of course, he says, there is no work that affects me. And I don't want any results, you know, because he's Atmaram, he's the owner, everything, you know. He doesn't want anything. But even if he says, even if you understand this also along with that first one, what is that? Janma karma ched me divyam. Along with that, if you understand this also, then he says, you don't become entangled in the fruitive work, fruitive reactions. You don't get entangled with papa, punya, all that. And then he is giving the testimonial that all the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of his transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty. Again, you know, Krishna keeps reminding Arjuna, therefore you should perform your duty. So, next time we are going to take the karma on the Gyan of Knowledge platform. Okay. So, thank you very much. If you have any question, comment, we can take that up. Hare Krishna. I have only few minutes with me, so please hurry up if you have any questions. Thank you very much.